Well, I don't think I need to say it, but obviously it's VBS week. If somehow you didn't know coming into tonight, I think when you came in and looked around, you probably figured that out pretty quick. You know, this is, for as long as I can remember, since the Lord brought me to this church a number of years ago now, this has always been a special time. Not just because my favorite mother-in-law has been directing it, and I'm her favorite son-in-law, so, but not just because of that, but there's just so many wonderful things that we begin to see the Lord do in times like this. There's just something about us being all together. We even kind of let the chairs be a little closer to the front, and I'm a little backed up here, so you can experience the closeness that the Lord's given us this week, too. So we're all kind of a part of it right now. But if you could open up your Bible with me to Luke 18, and while you're turning there, for those of you that aren't there with us during the week and have heard some of just the testimony of what the Lord's been doing these first 3 days, we still have two left. So letting you all know, you got to come back tomorrow if you've been serving the last 3 days. We're not done tonight. We got two more days to go. We've had anywhere from about 47 to 48 children each day coming to the Vacation Bible School, and we've had to this point 6 children pray to receive Christ as their Savior. And we've had a number of other ones that have raised their hand when that invitation's been given, and some have said that they've made a decision, and there's been great opportunities for different ones of you to come alongside of them in that and encourage them in that decision, as well as ones that maybe didn't feel quite ready yet, but there was chances to get to share the gospel in a one-on-one setting with them. So nothing but just wonderful opportunities that the Lord's brought up to this point. If you could look with me, though, in Luke 18, and we'll talk about some of those here as we go tonight as well, so I'm not going to leave you without the actual testimony of it as well. But in Luke 18, and if you drop on down with me to verse 15, this was actually a part of, Jared's not able to be here tonight, but he's actually been portraying our Savior, Jesus, in the lessons each day. I told him that was a lot of weight on him this week. He had to be like Jesus all week. But this was a part of that first day lesson involved this particular passage. And it was really to get to see it as I'm watching it begin to play out. And we had some of the children come up and begin to sit with Jared. And you could see the Lord moving in his heart just in the genuineness of the passage. There was just a tenderness of that time. And if you look in verse 15, it says, "And they were bringing even their babies to him so that he would touch them." There's an intimacy there. There's a closeness there that we see our Savior have with these young ones that are coming. The disciples follow, and they began to rebuke them. But Jesus called for them, saying, "Permit the children to come to me, and do not hinder them, for the kingdom of God belongs to such as these. Truly I say to you, whoever does not receive the kingdom of God like a child will not enter it at all." Not only does there seem to be a tender care that our Savior has for these children that are coming up, but he really begins to give us the principle of that heart that's ready to receive the gospel. There's an unassuming heart that seems to be in some of these young souls that come in that there's not a hardness, there's a softness to these things, and there's not a presumption of knowing better many times. And we see an openness seemingly so much more than sometimes when we have adults and we begin to talk and begin to be set in the ways. There's an openness to the Word. I was reading an article the other day, and it's not offertory, but I got an article for you anyway. I know I'm developing a trend. Pastor Gary uses them sometimes, too. But there's been a few studies about the early years with children. And Pastor Gary had mentioned one a little while back about the touch and the necessity of that in those in that time of growing. But in particular, these studies had really focused in on affection and love at a young age and the impact. In particular, they followed, it was a long-term study in following these children from their young years into adulthood, and some of the differences that began to come up in their lives for ones that had affection and love in their life. It says in particular, and this particular one found that those that were young, the children with very affectionate and attentive upbringing, they grew up to be happier, more resilient, and less anxious. This particular one, they followed 500 people from near infancy into their early 30s. They observed some of the interactions that they would have with their parents. When they began to look at them a little bit later on, they found that there was less reports of hostility, distressing interactions with others, and there seemed to just be more of a calmness. There's something about the younger years that there's a receptivity to these things, but there's also an impression that's made in the younger years. One of the things I thought was interesting that they noticed in particular is not only did those children seem to be more acclimated and seem to be happier in their life, but they also seemed to be more compassionate towards others. That there seemed to be a difference that came into their life when they felt that they were loved. We have an opportunity during times like this with these children as they come in to present to them a love, not only that they would experience of us with one another, but to introduce them to a love that will stay with them for the rest of their life. That these ones that begin to hear the love of Christ, we're giving them something eternal, a relationship with a Savior who's never going to leave or forsake them. And the difference to begin to feel that they have that love. What we see is, and even the world in these types of studies would affirm that certain things seem to stick. Certain things seem to stay. And having that love and affection. And so even in, you know, one of the things that I've observed through the years is, even in the course of the days that we have, the 5 days, Christmas time, the 3 days we have, we've watched time after time that even some of these children that may start the week off and they seem to not be interested, they seem to be hard, seem to not really be open to the things of the Lord. By the end of the week, they're wanting to give everybody a hug. They're wanting to sing the songs. They're wanting to begin to talk about the Lord. Some of them even begin to raise their hand and make decisions as that time goes on. And we start to hear from the parents, they're coming home singing the songs. They're coming home telling us these verses that they learned and trying to recreate the lesson that the men and the ladies were up there. They were acting out this passage, and they're trying to explain it to the parents when they get home. There's something about that age that there's a receptivity to it, and there's fruit that we see come out of that. So why don't we take the time that we take, and why don't we put the things forward? Because God's made it important, and He's shown us that there's an open door in this time. We know that there's many things out there that are evil around us, but there's an opportunity to do good in these times. Before I go into any more, I'm going to call on some of you tonight, so brace yourself. Brace yourself. Some of you know I am, some of you don't. Sorry. Mom, I was going to start with you, and I did give you a heads up because I'm trying to stay your favorite son-in-law, so I let you know ahead of time. But as you and I were talking a few months ago, and God really began to really solidify the thrust, which it's actually up on the wall behind all of you, by the way. Walking with Jesus was really what you had on your heart this year, and one of the things I really appreciated was it was not only something on your heart for the children, but you were thinking about their families when they go home, and you were thinking about our family here within the body. Mm-hmm. And so I'd ask you if you could just maybe share what was this burden that was on your heart?
Well, I think, you know, ever since the world has gone even more topsy-turvy, and we've seen, you know, churches close, go online, And you can't hug a computer, you can't hug a TV. And I'm so thankful for the leaders of our body, which followed the word of God, and we stayed continuing to meet as the Lord commands. So that walking with Jesus, it's where the rubber meets the road. And what does it look like? And so I know one of your favorite verses, one of my favorite verses, John 3:30, he must increase, I must decrease. And so as we're praying and asking the Lord to help us be more like him, we're going to encounter different trials that are going to make us be more like him. And many of those things are going to be very humbling, humbling circumstances. And, you know, even just in the planning and the getting together, you know, for the work days, they're just some of my favorite times with our body. And, you know, how they unite around the Lord and the service to the Lord. But we're also serving one another. Like, even today, at the end of the day, I was a little shaky and wobbly and hungry. And I went over there, and they had the leftover sandwiches. And I was like, I'll eat that, you know. And everybody's always watching out for one another. And it's not that I don't want to minister to the kids. You know I do. I love children. But I love seeing how our body comes together and are ministering to one another, whether it's being in a skit, being a group leader. You were talking about the affection of the children and the touch. I think Michelle gets most of that, you know, with the kids like laying all over her. But she has a great group. They're great kids.
They had a big group this year too.
Yeah, we do have a lot of children this year. You know, every year, you know, the Lord's burdened my heart for 50 children, so we might get like 44. This year, He burdened my heart for 60, and we're getting 47. So we're still getting more children than we've ever had before. And in and of itself is humbling as well, that the Lord would allow us to have those children come. And so this morning when I first woke up, I was pretty tired. And I'm not a morning person. And I was like, okay, Lord, you said your mercies are due every morning. And when the time comes that I'm going to need that grace, you're going to give it to me. And within about 20 minutes, I had been energized and, you know, just going again. And that's the Lord. You know, it's not anything, you know, of myself. It's all Him. And I'm just so thankful for that. And this morning I was telling the leaders, you know, that I always tell my grandchildren, people are more important than things. So that if things break, you know, there's expensive stuffs in our house, but it does not matter. You know, there's nothing that could break that would make me want to tear one of those little ones down. And by the end of the day, someone's pot got dropped and cracked. And I was like, okay, Lord, so you wanted a real example. How are we going to act about this, mm-hmm. you know? And the Lord always provides everything that we need for every situation. And, which one? Oh, yes, that too. But, so life is still going on, and things are happening, and people's AC is breaking down. A couple people are getting sick, and the circumstances really haven't changed. But, and I really hope she doesn't mind if I share, but I was feeling a teeny bit down at dinner time about a couple things, you know, that are going on, and most of them are outside of VBS. But then I got a text from Tina, and she said that her son's fiance wanted to know if she, I can't even say it again. She wanted to know if she could come help at our VBS. And I was like, yeah. Oh my gosh, are you kidding me? So the Lord is just opening up doors with not only just our body, but even those that the Lord is wanting to send to us. And so I believe she's going to be here Friday, and what a great opportunity to, for her to see again the love that we have for one another. And it was like an instant 180. I was like, Lord, I needed that. Thank you. You know, he knows exactly what we need at the moment that we need it. And it really was a jolt of joy just hearing that.
We were talking this morning just about the faithfulness of our God and how we've just seen that day after day. Long before this week even started, we've been seeing it.
He's been very faithful through the whole process. So, oh, and let me tell you one more thing. But I mean, I know I told everybody at VBS, but there's a couple people here that probably aren't here every day. Okay, I'm a Sunday school teacher here at Family Bible, and one of my students, Olivia, was able to lead someone to the Lord this week, and honestly, could there be any greater reward? You know, John says, you know, greater than to see your children, you know, serving the Lord. And so, you know, all these little ones, I call them my kids, you know, all the ones that are in there. And how exciting, you know, to now see those who have graduated and now they're serving the Lord with this capacity. Just seriously, just great.
It's as if God knows the desires of your heart.
Yeah.
And begins to give them to you.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Sounds like a verse. What? Sounds like a verse, doesn't it? At that point, I had shared with you that not only did we have opportunities with different children to pray that made decisions so far this week, but some of these other conversations that some of you have been able to have this week have been really, really encouraging and great opportunities. And as you're sharing about really the theme of what was on your heart for this week with that walk, Donald, if you could take the mic to Bobby, Mr. Pete. You had a conversation today, and God has really seen your heart. It's been, you know, these last couple years especially that you've really felt burdened to be a part of this time. And you've been taken off of work and at times in the past working and doing this and taking long days. And it really was very clearly a burden. Nobody followed you down and chased you down and told you to do it. You just wanted to be here. And I remember last year you had that young man, Wesley, who was really on your heart. And God opened a door. And he's one of the ones that always comes to mind when I think of the way the week started, and by the weekend, he didn't want to leave your side, and he's hugging you and wanting to talk to you, and you could see the work that the Lord was doing through the heart that he had put in you, the burdens that he had given you. And you had another young man this week so far that's in your group. His name's Samuel, right? Mm-hmm. And we got through Monday, and we're kind of thinking maybe we need to give you some reinforcements in your group because it's getting to be a little energetic and things going on. And I remember coming to you yesterday morning and you said, no, I've got a heart for this young man. Mm-hmm. If anybody was going to kind of get one-on-one with him, I really would like to. And so nothing, you know, you got some opportunity with him yesterday, but nothing really big came up. But then this morning, when Mom gave that invitation at the end of the lesson, his hand went up. His hand didn't go up, but he said something to you afterwards. Yeah. That's right. Got to get it back right in my head. It's been a long week. I apologize. But he said something to you afterwards. How did that conversation go?
Well, after the prayer and everything, he had asked me, he leaned over and he asked me, he said, Why do I have to continue to pray this prayer every single time we come here and every other VBS I go to, even though I've already done it? And
he's about 8 years old, right?
Yeah. Yeah, he's about 8 years old. And for those of you who haven't talked to him, he's incredibly intelligent. for his age. He's using words that I didn't even know existed until about 3 years ago. So, which I guess isn't saying much for me, but still.
I'm with you, Ron.
But yeah, he had asked me that. He had asked me, why do I going to continue to pray to prayer? And I said, well, if, I mean, if you meant it and you were genuine, you don't have to continue to pray to prayer. It's for those who haven't, that this is for. And then I asked him, I said, have you personally made that decision? Or, I mean, what makes you say you prayed it? He told me, he said when he was 3 years old, he said he did it then with his mom. At least that's what his mom told him. And then I asked him again, I said, well, it's got to be personal. Like, it can't be something that you did because your mom said you did it.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, at the end of all this, when you do go see God in heaven, he's not going to ask, oh, that's right, you prayed, or say, oh, that's right, you prayed with your mom, or anything like that. He's going to ask you, why should I let you in? And I said, so has there been a time that you've actually made a personal decision? He's like, every time we pray, I pray the prayer. Do you mean it? I wouldn't mean it if I didn't pray it.
He's a very straightforward young man.
Or I wouldn't pray it if I didn't mean it, yeah.
Yeah.
It's very, very straightforward. And so then I went into him. I said, okay, so you know what that prayer comes with then. And I just walked him through what it means to be a Christian and what it means to be a sinner. I asked him if he knows he's a sinner and if he knows what, you know, why Jesus came. And he goes, yeah, he came for the propitiation of our sins. And I'm like... What? And there's some other words that he used that I've not forgot, but he used them. And I was like, do you know what that word means? He's like, yeah, basically he came to be our sacrifice so that we didn't have to go through that. Okay, then. I said, so I guess the real question is, do you want to follow Jesus? Do you want to live and be like him and start to mirror him? And he looked at me, he's, again, if I didn't mean it, I wouldn't have prayed it. So, okay. I said, well, in that case, let's just pray. Is there anybody you want to pray for? And so he said his family, so we prayed for his family, and we also had a time of rededication as well.
He was really wanting to pray for some of these family members to receive the Lord, too, wasn't he?
Right, yeah. And, which I thought was interesting. I struck on his dad. I think his dad's a pastor. I'm not sure. Which might be explain why he knows some of these words. I'm sure Jeremiah probably knew some of these words too. But other than that, like, yeah, that was a good time with him, and I just kind of. Over the past few days, we have kind of bonded together, and I see he's a little hyper, yeah, but he's also homeschooled. Like Miss Kim was teaching me, kids who are homeschooled tend to have a little bit more energy. So, Miss Kim Williams. She's okay, it was her.
You're all on your own, Bobby.
So.
You know, we got a lot of homeschool children in this room right now.
I'm sure they all have a lot of energy.
I didn't argue with you. I just was making a point.
But yeah, I mean, he's a good, he's, well, through the Lord, he's a good kid. And I really see his heart. You know, he's not here to disrupt. He's not trying to be bad. He's an 8-year-old. That apparently knows a lot of big words. He loves AT&T. Learned that today. And natural gas.
Well, you know.
And Jesus.
Most importantly.
Most importantly.
I appreciate you sharing, Bobby. If you could look with me in Colossians chapter 3. When I think about this body, and I think about the way that the Lord moves different ones' hearts, and I believe God uses the genuineness that he's put in this family that we have here to begin to show through differently. You know, one of the things that we oftentimes talk about is We've never desired this time of Vacation Bible School to be flashy, to be extravagant, to be eye-popping, and we know that there's many that are, but it's never been our desire. Now, it's not to say, listen, I call them the dynamic duo, but Fran and Connie Niedermeyer, they get going in there, and they come up with some stuff, so I'm not saying it's not nice looking, and Brian's been a great director with these men going through these different lessons, but it's the genuineness that I believe that God causes to be seen. Why do these children seem to enjoy it? I'm setting up in front, and I can hear excitement. The kids are going, oh, there's an object lesson. There's going to be a lesson. They're going, lesson, lesson, lesson. And I'm going, there's so much that they begin to consume that's out there that would be so much more entertaining or flashy. Pastor Gary would say Disney does Disney a lot better than we do. But there's a genuineness. And so in Colossians 3, in verse 23, he says, whatever you do, do your work heartily, as for the Lord rather than for men. Word heartily, there's a source that it's coming from. It's coming from your heart. To me, that's a genuineness. The things that you're doing, do it just because you love the Lord. And it goes on to say, knowing that from the Lord you will receive the reward of the inheritance, it is the Lord Christ whom you serve. I think about, like with you, Bobby, you making some of those decisions to step out from that workplace and they're in this time and take this time. And you're not the only one of the men that's done it. There's a number of you men. You're sitting next to one that's taken some time off for that. And but God repays you in greater ways than anything else ever could of this world. And I believe you're getting to see the reward, the desire of your heart through these open doors with these young men. It's no mistake that God keeps bringing these young men in at that time and in your sphere to begin to have an opportunity with. If you could look at me as well in Proverbs 19, if we could turn to Proverbs chapter 19. The proverb would start off in verse 1, which we know with Proverbs that you sort of get, I kind of say that key that unlocks it there at the beginning of each chapter, that there's something that's more valuable and more important than not only riches, but great stature and admiration. And he'll mention integrity right off the bat. If you come on down to verse 17 with me, he says, one who is gracious to a poor man. Now, what's interesting is you dig into that word poor, and it really doesn't reference monetary as much. What it does talk about is those that are weak and powerless. Those that are weak and powerless. And it'll say, you gracious to a poor man, lends to the Lord. I really love that word lends. When you dig into it, it not only talks about lending to, but there's a second part of the definition that also says you unite or join yourself with one. So you begin to be gracious to those who cannot do anything back for you. I think about the end of James chapter 1, and he'll say, pure and undefiled religion is this, that you're visiting orphans and widows in their distress. They can't do anything back for you. They can't scratch your back when you scratch theirs. There's no quid pro quo. There's a genuine burden that the Lord begins to put on your heart. And you do it for him. And you watch what begins to happen. It says, he will repay them. The word repay is to make whole. Or it's actually the root of where we get the word shalom. As I was digging into it, and there was a peace. I can't help but think, I know there's different things that'll come up in our life and each of our lives. And maybe there's been times during this time with VBS or different times that you've been serving that maybe you went into the time. You came in that morning and you were heavy about some things. Maybe you were angry about some things. Maybe you were overwhelmed by some different things that were going on. But as you began to just commit these things to the Lord, began to serve, began to put your eyes on Him, begin to serve with the body, and do it as unto the Lord, heartily to Him, you began to find a peace coming in. You go through and you go, I can't even remember why I was upset when I got here this morning. I'm not even thinking about those things. God begins to bring a peace in there when we just then focus on serving as He does. You see Philippians chapter 2, and we see the great description of the heart of our Savior, in which we're told to have the same attitude that He has. As He empties Himself, takes on the form of a bondservant. There was nothing that He was seeking to get back for Himself. And yet we see His Heavenly Father, I'll say, He exalts Him as a result of that. God will begin to bring these blessings into our life when we're giving and serving in a way that there is no repayment of this world for us. There's no benefit there. We don't charge for these things. There's no, most times, some of the parents don't even know the conversations that we end up having or some of the things that you do behind the scenes. They're not even seen. You're not even able to get a pat on the back. But the Lord knows. And He begins to bless you in ways that go beyond anything that you could imagine. I said I was going to call on some different ones, and she was already mentioned, so she should have a little heads up. But, Livy, we had one child raise her hand that first day that wanted to make a decision. And I couldn't help but think, the last couple of years as you were first getting into VBS, you've been faithfully ministering in that nursery. But we knew your heart, and we knew your desire to be out there with some of these children and these opportunities. And so you got to be out with that group, with Michelle's group this year, right? And you got to be with those young ones. And you had an opportunity kind of right out of the gate on Monday to get to pray with a young girl. Her name was Tessa, right?
Yes.
And she kind of had some interesting responses back to you at one point, right? So you went to sit down with her. How did that conversation go?
So I've asked her, I was like, so I asked her about, like, does she know who Jesus is? And she's like, yeah, we've been learning about Him in the stories. And I was like, and I told her the gospel. I showed her the bracelet. And I was like, have you ever heard this story before? And she goes, no, I haven't. And I was like, okay. So I told her about, like, how much He loves her and that He wanted her and her family and the whole world to be in heaven with Him, even though we messed up. And at the end, before I was going to pray with her, I said, do you have any questions about all of this? And she goes, so you're telling me that God loves us so much, He wants us to be in heaven with Him? And I was like, He does. Isn't that so exciting? And I was like, do you want to ask Jesus in your heart? Do you want to live in heaven with Him? And she was like, uh-huh. So I was like, okay, well, let's pray together. So I prayed with her, and she prayed. And it was just such a sweet time with her. And she was just so excited about it. And she was like, kind of surprised, which, like, I guess kind of surprised me, because, like, a lot of the kids that come, like, they go to another church, and I don't know if she does, she might have just been, like, confused, but she was like, really? And I was like, yeah. So she prayed with me, and then I was like, so how do you feel about all this? She's like, this is great. So she gave me a hug, and then she skipped along right to her group, and she was just so happy and excited. And then the past couple days, every time she sees me, she's like, hi, and she gives me a hug, and she's like, her face lights up, and I just see her interacting with the girls in her group, and she always, like, hugs Sloane, too, when Sloane's excited to see her, and she's just super cute, and I'm super happy I had that opportunity with her.
It really was. These are things that have been on your heart, and God was preparing your heart for these opportunities to come. And, you know, one of the things that stood out to me is not only was she skipping around, but I remember seeing you as the children got dismissed, and you were just beaming. You were just so excited. It was like you had a reward even from that, too. God was blessing you through that. She had that excitement of receiving and going, you mean God loves me? And you're going, I got to see that happen. You got to see birth at that time, and how exciting that is to get to do it. And so I'd rather have His rewards, wouldn't you, than anything else?
Absolutely. About one of the kids in my group.
Absolutely.
So Dominic in my group, the first day he was like having a hard time, and mm-hmm. he was like all over the place, and he wanted his mom. But I think it was the second day Emma was having a hard time taking a picture, and he gets up and he goes over to her, and he's like, Emma, don't be sad. Vacation Bible school is fun. And it was just the cutest thing ever. Yeah, because normally it's like us as the leaders, like having to encourage the kids, like, oh, it's fine, we get to learn about Jesus. But he was like, he was smiling and he just hopped on over and he was like, it's so much fun, Emma. Let's go. So it was just super cute. And it was really encouraging to see like his excitement too for VBS. And he's been doing like really good the past 2 days. He's been listening. He's been like excited. He's been answering lots of questions. So,
without knowing it, the Lord just had you introduce the next one that I'm going to have share. You didn't even know it, did you? But you said, I got to share this. And so you just transitioned for me. So I appreciate you doing that. Did you have any more you want to share? If you could take it over, and he knows it, it's Mr. Justin Love. I can't help but think these last 2 days you begin to see a different excitement in that young man. It was yesterday that you had an opportunity with him, Justin. And so I can't help but think of the timing began to come from that. And you were another one. You've had this week off from work. And the last 2 years, you and I have been talking, and different things would begin to come in. And, I was talking to you. I couldn't help but think of with some of the things that came up. You were really sick 1 year and then couldn't take off for it. And so I couldn't help but think of Epaphroditus, Philippians 2 there. He couldn't get to the ones that his heart was for, but God was using them anyway to begin to encourage. And I remember you were coming on those years and trying to help before and after as much as you could. But you were able to be here this whole week this year. And yesterday we had this young man, Dominic, which we know Dominic. We know him well. But you had an opportunity to sit down with him. So
yep.
How did that go?
Well, he's three, so so trying to get his attention was a little difficult at first. But I was saying to myself, okay, if he's not understanding what I'm telling him, then I'm not going to obviously go through with it. So, I pull him aside and I say, you remember raising your hand? And he goes, yeah, I remember raising my hand. Do you know why you did that? And he kind of, couldn't give me an answer. And then I said, do you know why, I asked him again, do you know why you raised your hand? Do you want to, you know what it means to accept the Lord? And he goes, he said, protects. He protects. That was the only answer he really, I can't remember the question I asked him now that I'm thinking about it, but the question I asked him, he answered, protects. And I'm like, okay, he understands what he did, what he was doing. So I prayed with him and he accepted the Lord and from what Olivia just shared, I had no idea that there was a change immediately that day. So with what you were telling us about him paying attention and asking questions and stuff, so there obviously was something genuine in that little man's heart. So it was cool to be a part of. Cool to be a part of that.
There's a reason Jesus would say that there is a heart like a child to begin to receive these things, and you see that softness that come. And the thought would be, they're very young, but we know somebody else who received the Lord at quite a young age, Miss Connie, and the Lord has kept you in all these years. And so there can be that genuine change at a very young age. And so we're so thankful that, and it was another case of the Lord saw your heart through all of this, and at the right time, he opened that door. And I don't think you'll forget that time with that young man. I don't think any of you will. Appreciate it, Justin. And there's been others. We have some that are not able to be with us tonight, but had opportunities. And I'll share this for Miss Connie Niedermeyer. She's not here, right? I didn't think I saw her. But she was talking to a young girl and who had raised her hand, and she gave her the entire gospel back. She began to tell Connie the whole gospel. And she's going, and then there was Joseph, but he wasn't really his father. And she's going through this whole thing. And constantly they're going, I feel like I raised my hand, because she's receiving the whole message back. And so, but those are just exciting times to see those hearts begin to take that message in. And it's been unique this year that the youngest groups have really been where we've seen the most of those hands begin to come up. And, if you'd look with me in particular in Psalm 133, if we could turn to Psalm 133. Psalm we know there's a lot of things that go on in this world around us, but not only is it these times in which we get this opportunity to share the gospel with these children, but one of the things that really has always caused this to be such a special time on my heart is getting to watch all of you serve together, getting to watch you all come alongside one another. And it really doesn't even matter where you're at. You know, as I think back over the last several years, some of you have been in a group, you've been in an area, you've been teamed up with this person, teamed up with that person, and it just rotates and changes all around, and yet the heart doesn't seem to change. The unity doesn't change. And so we realize that there's something very unique and special about the unity that God brings into the body. I went to Psalm 130. I told Pastor Gary he went to Psalm 150 and said he could jump ahead. So I told him I took his cue and we're jumping ahead. It's Wednesday night. We had to go in a psalm at some point, right? Psalm 133, it's a very, very short psalm. Very short. Three verses. But I'm sure, Pastor Gary, you're going to have a whole message out of it. It's going to be far more just nailing it than I'm going to right now. But
don't tell him too much.
I'm sticking, I can't say I'm sticking surface, but I'm not. But that word behold that it starts off with, there's something uncommon that seems to follow anytime we see that word behold. There's something that we just don't find everywhere. I can't separate the psalm from the one who God is using to write it. And I think about David, and whether it be within family, whether it be within his kingdom, David seemed to have times all around him where there was contention, where there was anger, where there wasn't unity. His own children, his wife, all those relationships, and his own ones that would serve under him, there would be times he's on the run, and you can understand then, and he goes, there's something to behold. There's something that stands out. There's something that's worth being excited about. And he says, how good, and you guys should know Psalm 133:1 already. Sonny, you've been teaching that for years. You're right here. Sorry. I was pointing over here, and you're right here.
Didn't mean to mess up your focus.
No. Behold how good and how pleasant it is. I think about that word how that he puts in. God doesn't quantify it, but to me it's almost an invitation of coming and seeing how amazing this work is that God begins to do. The word good is agreeable or joyful, pleasant. It'll say sweet, and I can understand why God would move a heart to make this a song, because it would actually refer to it gives an analogy of like a sweet singing, like a sweet singing. There's something just genuine and sweet and peaceable about this, and you can't find it everywhere. David understands that it's not something that you just find on a tree. This is something that is uncommon in the world around us, and we know this. And he says what that is brothers to dwell together in unity. That phrase, dwell together in unity, there's a couple of words in there, yasab, yahad, if I were to give you, and hopefully I'm pronouncing that right. I listened to the Strong, so I'm hoping I got it right. It's to abide and remain in one place with a heart wanting to become one with one another. There's a heart of wanting to be together and be one. And you can see as David looks and he goes, how amazing this is to see ones wanting to be together. Not only in one place, as the definition would give, but to want to be one, to want to be agreeable, to want to be together. He says it's like precious oil upon the head coming down the beard, and even Aaron's beard, and coming down to the edge of his robes, and there's just a flowing and a spreading down of it. And it's like the dew of Hermon coming down upon the mountains of Zion. For there the Lord commanded the blessing, life forever. Something about that dew, it's been hot the day before, and there's a coolness that begins to come in and a refreshing. And the thing about dew is you can't count all those drops. You can't. It's immeasurable. He goes, that's how much of a blessing it is when we see that. This is what I've been thinking in my mind all week watching you guys, is how good, how pleasant it is to see you brothers and sisters coming together and wanting to be together. You could find, listen, we're not coming up and knocking on your door. We put a sign up clipboard back there and we left it alone. God moved on your hearts to want to be here. Some of you for the first time this year. And some of you are going, I don't want to be anywhere but here. And it doesn't matter how long the days are. It doesn't matter how busy it gets. Doesn't matter how loud it gets. It's not about those outside things. There's something that God begins to move in the heart. And you can't help but look at it and go, behold, how amazing this is. Much of a blessing it is. Much of a comfort it is, that oil. And that oil, it's not a common thing, the oil that would be used. It would have to be something that is pure, that was set aside, sanctified, something God set aside and reserved for his children. And I could never take that for granted. That's a blessing God's given me to get to watch all of you. And my hope is that you begin to see that, not only with VBS, but anytime we get to serve together, anytime we get to come together and do it as unto the Lord. I wanted to look as well, if you guys with me, in John 17. And DJ, you can take a seat, bud. I feel bad. I just realized you're still standing there, and I didn't give you a cue that you could sit back down for right now. And I know I've only called on a few of you, and some of you are probably sitting there going, Pastor James, I've got some testimonies I want to share. Well, the good news is, if you can hold on to it for about a week and a half, we'll have praise night, and we're going to share some more as well. If I could, I'd give all of you all night to do it, but we will be back in the morning. But you guys would stay. I'm not going to do it to you, but you guys would stay and spend all night sharing these things. And my hope is that we don't just share it in this setting, but share it with one another. Look, you had these opportunities with these young ones or things that begin to encourage you. Take time to share it with each other. Tell each other about these things. This is an encouraging thing. This is a part of us building one another up in the Lord. But I think about John 17, and I think about this prayer that Jesus has for his disciples. And as you come with me down to verse 13, he says, "But now I come to you, and these things I speak in the world so that they may have my joy made full in themselves. I have given them your word, and the world has hated them because they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world." We know there are a lot of things out there that are, and a lot of ones that are out there that are very contrary to the word of God going out. It'd be very easy for us to take our time and try and begin to fight back against it. But God tells us to do good instead. And this is certainly a time of being able to do good instead. We could fight back fire with fire. We could, but as the children were even saying, that wouldn't be the armor of God, would it? That wouldn't be responding back the way that God has called us to. That would be doing it the way the world does. In fact, as you'll see in verse 15, he says, "I don't ask you to take them out of the world, but to keep them from the evil one. They are not of the world, even as I am not of the world." We look at that and we go, behold, I do see something different. There is something different. John 13:35, he goes, "They're going to know you by your love for one another." There's something distinct and different and set apart about brothers and sisters in Christ, that brotherly love, as Pastor Gary's been talking about in the Thessalonians study here recently as well. But he says, "Sanctify them in the truth. Your word is truth. as you sent me into the world, I also have sent them into the world. For their sakes I sanctify myself, that they themselves also may be sanctified in truth. I do not ask on behalf of these alone, but for those also who believe in me through their word, that they may all be one. It was a desire of our Savior that we would be one. You can understand why it's such a good and pleasant thing when that's the case. When the desire that God has put in our heart, it's not us. We can attest to that very clearly. It's not of us. And it's not something that's common. It's something that only God can begin to do. But we look at it and we can't help but be amazed. Can't help but be thankful. But it goes on and he says that they may all be one, even as you, Father, are in me and I in you, and they may also be in us. And then here's that piece that really comes in of why are we even here? Why are we doing these things? He says, so that the world may believe that you sent me. That's a continuous belief. So that they would receive him. So that there would be a clear distinction and difference. And ones would go, I want that too. We watch these children time after time begin to go, there's something different when I come in here. We know it's not anything external. We purposely don't want it to be anything external. But there is something different about a heart that God has changed. There's something different about a heart that God has burdened. And it's a part of when you all have allowed God to move your heart in this way. And we get to see that fruit of his unity. He goes, there's ones that will begin to go, I believe this. I believe this is real. There is something different and distinct. Not only is it this opportunity to share the gospel, but it's an opportunity to come together too. And I say it every year, and we'll say it again, I'm confident, in a couple weeks when we have praise night. But every year, God just brings us that much closer. And we were crazy enough, we're doing it twice a year now. So we get extra blessing of coming closer and closer together. It's a double blessing in that. But you all have encouraged me in getting to see these truths be played out in this body. And I hope that the door is there for us to continue to do this so the Lord takes us home, to have this time together. And God is faithfully, and I purposely had the one share that did tonight because there was a waiting that came on at times. There was a stirring in the heart. And you begin to see God bring that reward and that blessing in. And he's faithful to do it. Some of you may have had those same burdens. And you're going, I just desire to have an opportunity like that. You keep your eyes on him. Do what you do heartily is for him. You watch what he'll do. He is faithful. You watch the reward that he'll bring. Desire his reward. Will he not give you the desire of your heart? And I will say as well, I didn't want to leave this out. Matthew 10:42 says, even if you give a cold cup of water, you won't lose your reward. So snack area, there's a reward too. Amen. And you can do a lot more than a cold cup of water. But I think tomorrow we're going to know how refreshing that is. It's going to be pretty hot tomorrow. But my hope is that all of you are encouraged this week. And listen, some of you may have a desire to come during the week, and that door's just shut. But as I mentioned with Justin with Epaphroditus, God used them too. Even in his heart and in his prayers for that body, God was using him to encourage. And so don't doubt what he can begin to do as his time goes on as well. We're going to close in prayer, and then Mr. Sonny, is there a song that we could close in?
Sure.
Okay, let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, I just cannot begin to thank you enough. It is good and pleasant to see this work that you've been doing. Lord, you've drawn us together. We are a family because of you. And Lord, we see that now more than ever. Lord, if that were not enough, you've given us opportunities to see change, to see birth, to see the joy and excitement of hearing of your love and salvation, sometimes for the first time. To begin to hear how deeply you love us and to go, you telling me this is real? He really does love me? Well, that's a privilege that we could never deserve. And yet, you bring these blessings in, these rewards in. Lord, it's my prayer that as we press on from today, that we would desire only these things that come from you. That you would continue to strengthen our hearts, to give us endurance. Lord, we do not want us to be seen. We want you to be seen. Lord, that you would even use this body. Lord, what an incredible love you must have for us. We know it to be true. And we trust your faithfulness. And we trust your promises. You tell us these things will come to pass. They will. And Lord, when you bless us, it goes beyond what we could even imagine. That we would get to see hearts receive you. And even, Father, at times our hearts change. What an incredible thing that is. We can't help but just behold. There's nothing like you, what you do. There's nothing close to it. Lord, we thank you and we praise you. And may we continue to do so. In your name, amen.
Let's all rise as we sing.